And I want to set the principles here as a guideline in how to help walk through and work through this book of Revelation. I have no intention of being speculative. I have no intention of trying just to say fantastic things for the sake of saying fantastic things. One of the best guides that I have found is the chapter summary on this chapter 6 by one of my favorite commentators, Albert Barnes. I recommend that you read it.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're going straight today to Revelation chapter 6, where we have Christ on the white horse going forth conquering and to conquer. And that is our Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing to have a Savior who is conquering on our behalf. Stay tuned as we go now to Revelation 6.
Well, we're moving along to Revelation chapter 6 this evening. Revelation chapter 6. I don't think we'll preach all our way through this one, but we'll do our best to tackle and look into these things in Revelation 6, but we will read the whole chapter just to give us the big picture here. Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. May the Lord write this word upon your heart this evening. Dear Lord, we pray that you will indeed minister to us and breathe upon us in this part of the service. We pray that we might be found faithful and handling your word according to your divine will, and that you will use the scriptures to stir us and revive us and to equip us to serve thee. Oh, there's a world of confusion, but we thank thee for the light of the truth of God. Oh, come and minister to us now. Give the Holy Ghost to preacher and to hearer, and let us exalt thee in the ministry of thy word tonight. In our Savior's name, amen. Amen. Well, as you can see here in Revelation 6, that it is very much about horses. I have to confess something of a dislike for horses. When I was a young lad on our farm, my brother had a very high-spirited horse. I can't remember the breed. I think it was something of a racehorse. And I can remember him galloping through the fields on our farm. On a summer evening, a young girl was riding my brother's horse around the farmyard. And I'm not sure if I can describe it, but the farmhouse was in one corner, and there was a building right in the center, and there was a walkway right around, and there was a number of barns and buildings and doorways into that center building. And then around it, there were buildings on the outside as well. And so this teenage girl was riding my brother's horse round in a circle in the farmyard. The horse attempted to enter in through a doorway, which the girl didn't intend to go, and so she pulled up on the reins. As she pulled up on the reins, the horse rose up on its back feet, and to hold on, she pulled more on the reins. And as she pulled more and more on the reins, the horse toppled right over, and the horse's head smashed into her face. She was very seriously injured. The ambulance was called, and she was hospitalized for months, requiring reconstructive surgery. And as you can understand, that just brought all interest in horses to a complete end. And I don't think after that event that there was a horse remaining. Not that we had a horse farm, it was a mixed farm of all kinds. Horses were very much a sideline. When I was growing up, a donkey was my favorite sport. So we had lots of fun on that one. But when it came to horses, that was a very big downer. Now in the Bible, horses are a picture of strength. And the war horse in particular is a picture of fearlessness. You read in the Old Testament about the snorting of the war horse as it is riding toward battle. And in spite of the roars of the enemy in war and the clashing of steel, that war horse is trained, and of course it's got the blinkers on, it's trained to ride in a straight line, straight into the battle. These four horses of the apocalypse have therefore a very powerful message for us. they are engaged in the breaking of the first four seals of the book. We have spent a little bit of time trying to comprehend what those seals are, and we see this long scroll wound up, and these seals, as they are opened, allow the scroll to open more and more. On that roll are the decrees and the purposes of God. And we read here in chapter 6, 1, John is recording this, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying." Now we have identified these four beasts as cherubims, angelic creatures, and they invite John to come and see. And so we are now blessed and enabled by John's record to view the things that he saw as he was invited. Verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." That's just the first seal. And then there comes the red horse and the black horse and the pale horse. And each one of them now is the unleashing or the fulfilling of the decrees, the purposes of God in the world. They symbolize the Lord at work, conquering his enemies, working through war, famine, and death, all to build his church. Because the first one riding the white horse is Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer. I want to give you tonight my 4-H approach to the interpretation of the book of Revelation. We go from farms and horses to 4-H. 4-H is well known here in Canada. And I want to set the principles here as a guideline in how to help walk through and work through this book of Revelation. I have no intention of being speculative. I have no intention of trying just to say fantastic things for the sake of saying fantastic things. One of the best guides that I have found is the chapter summary on this chapter 6 by one of my favorite commentators, Albert Barnes. I recommend that you read it. I'm not going to try and give it to you word for word. It's quite long, and I want to boil it down to these four H's of Bible interpretation, especially in this book of Revelation. The first H is honesty. We need to be very, very honest with ourselves and before God, and we need to recognize that we are dealing here with inspired Scripture. And we must never put ourselves above the Scriptures of truth. We want to master God's Word, but the great thing is that God's Word masters us and controls our thinking as we study these things. And even when there are things beyond our comprehension, we need to be honest. And we need to say, God has spoken, and submit to what God has said. Second H is humility. Humility. Because the book deals with future events that are yet to be fulfilled, all the pieces do not come together until there is fulfillment. And until that happens, well, just like Old Testament prophecy, when the prophets wrote of the birth of Christ and the events of his first coming into the world, there were many details that they could not figure out until the event happened. And we have to be humble enough to recognize that the fulfillment of what God has predicted concerning the future, we will not and cannot work out the details until the event is fulfilled. Putting honesty and humility together, we therefore follow the principle that we allow the light of Scripture to shine on those things that are not clear, that are symbolic and that are picturesque, and we allow the rest of the Bible, which is abundantly clear, and where you have 100 places in the Bible that things are spoken about and clearly presented, we place them to help us, guide us, understand the light of these symbols and signs and numbers and so on. The third H is hope. The key message, as we read here, is Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. As we look around the world, we would despair. We wonder who's in charge. We see the greatest of governments teetering on the fence of confusion, obstruction, and indeed demise. We hear the rumbles of war around the world, and we wonder why in this 21st century of civilization, so-called, of technology and knowledge, that we still have a world at war. And yet, we have presented to us here in this chapter Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. And we could very quickly fall into despair and wonder, does the Lord really know what he's doing? Recently, I was down in Vancouver. I was walking along a street and I came across a construction site. And it's one of those sites where they've got the fencing up all around and they've got this fabric material that you're not supposed to see anything that's going on. Well, I was walking and I could stop and find a place to peek in. And they had these little flaps that I'm not sure what they're intended for, but I just lifted up one of these little flaps and had a peek into the construction site. Wow, what a mess. And you've got a huge hole in the ground. You have tanks for retention water. You have framing, plywood, rebar, some concrete is in. And instead of going up, well, they're firstly going down and slowly coming up with the foundation of the building. It took a while for to figure out where the elevator shaft would be, of course, in the center, and where the ramp for the parking of cars would go down in and how it was all coming together. But in the middle of what seems chaos, there is somebody somewhere that has a blueprint. And they know exactly what's going on. And each day when that construction is at work, there's any number of men that are working according to the blueprint, or at least they should be. As an outsider looking in, it seems a mess. And as we look around the world, we see chaos. But this book tells us that in the midst of this world where there is, as we see from these horses, war, that's the red horse, famine, and death, that's the black horse, and then there's the pale horse. As we see these things, Christ is going forth in his white horse, conquering and to conquer. And that brings us hope. Romans 8:28 can still be applied even to this present world. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The fourth H is heaven. The reason why we want to study this book, and this is truly the reason why I got into it, was I felt that it would be good to have some messages on heaven. I think we know very little about heaven. I think that if you ask somebody, what will heaven be like? We will usually do the negative line. No more tears, no more night, no more sorrow, no more pain. And of course, the Bible is like that. We don't always get the full picture. But surprisingly, one author that I read, he came up with 21 points on heaven from Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. Just a few verses. 21 lessons on heaven. And that ought to be the thrill of our hearts. We may never figure out how all the machinations of the world will work against Christ, how Antichrist will appear, and how the battle against the living Christ will be fought. We may never, ever fully comprehend those things, but what must interest us as Christians, if we be Christians, is that we want to know about that eternal home where the Lord is preparing to receive us. So, let's get into chapter 6. I have four major headings. I don't think I'll get to preach them all tonight, but I want you to get the breakdown of the chapter. Verses 1 and 2 is the first seal. It is the picture of the Redeemer conquering. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. Our Lord Jesus going forth on a white horse, conquering and to conquer. What a rich statement. What a majestic statement. Conquering and to conquer. That's verses 1 to 2. And then in verses 3 to 8, we have the real world of suffering. The red horse, the black horse, the peel horse. You have war, famine, death, and hell. That's the real world. That's the world we're living in. That's the world where you are going out to work every morning, where you drive by cemeteries, where you turn on the news and you get warnings of war, where you learn of nations that are dying of hunger. I remember again as a boy growing up, the famine in Biafra was all the news. Here we are all these years later, and there are still famines and hunger around the world. With all the transport and all the modern technology, there are multitudes starving in the world. That's the real world, and we see it pictured here. And then at the verses 9 to 11, we have persecution of the church, the martyrs, suffering unto death through their blood. That's another section. And then the verses 12 to 17, we have a picture of the day of wrath at Christ's second coming. And you will find that this now leads us up to the end of the age. Chapter 7 is really a continuation of the wrath of God and the preparations for the close of the time. And so in Revelation, you have these cycles. You have ramping right up to the coming again of Christ. And then it goes back a period, and you have more information building another layer. And then it goes back again. And we see this all outlined in chapter 6 for us. So tonight, we're going to take a look here in chapter 6, 1, at the picture of the Redeemer conquering. Note who opened the seals. We are told the Lamb. And what I've done in my Bible, I've gone through the book of Revelation, and I have circled the Lamb with my green pen. And now with my eye I can see at a glance this picture of the Lamb. And so he is the conqueror at Calvary who laid down his life. And it is he that has opened one of the seals. And now this sets world events in motion. This now becomes real redemptive history. Have you ever heard that term? Redemptive history. In fact, all history is redemptive history because it is all his story. The story of Christ coming into the world, the story of his perfect life, his atoning death. And now we see that he is the one that breaks the first seal and goes forth conquering. It is all about the power, the majesty, and the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse 2 shows us that this white horse and his rider come forth with a bow. Isn't it interesting how in the book of Revelation you don't have tanks and missile launchers and all those things? People tell us, you know, the Bible needs to be updated. Well, the Bible's always true to the period of time, the events and the things of that period. And for a rider to go forth on a white horse with his bow, he is a warrior going forth to defend. Kings on white horses. What does that conjure in your mind? I think of George Washington. I've seen a number of pictures of him on his white stallion riding among his military men in parades or in battle. And there is the Lord in the thick and the thin of the battle. He's with us. And just as Christ is revealed as the in the midst of the candlestick with the church, he's in the midst. The Lord is working and winning his purposes and his cause in the earth amongst us.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.